If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read from verses 9 to 18 in just a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 9, reading through to 18. Church, it has been such an honor and a pleasure to journey with you through the beginning of Heartstrong Season 5. We have made our way through Judges. Last week, we had an incredible Sunday morning talking about the book of Ruth. Today, we step into 1 Samuel, and what a journey it has been. Today, one of the things that we really want to deal with is the fact that our God communicates in a sacred echo. Someone say, echo. Echo, echo. Okay, good. Some of you got it. That was good. That was good. That was good. Our God communicates in a sacred echo. Well, what does this mean? It means that when you're reading through Scripture, it is important that we always pause when we see words or ideas repeated. We saw this very clearly as we walk through the Torah, right, in Leviticus, and then again in Deuteronomy. God repeats what it is that he has set out when it comes to his law. Why? Because early on in Israelite history, everything was verbal. Right? And so as they're walking through the Torah, the priests and the leaders, they would have walked them through Leviticus, and then all of a sudden Deuteronomy comes again, and it's this reminder for the people, oh, God is stressing something in our lives. And it's so important that we take that notion as we're journeying through Heartstrong together, as we continue to read through, because God is a God who knows what it is that he wants for his people, and he tries to make it as clear and as plain as he can through the sense of echoing his words. Now, some of us, we live this out in everyday life, the understanding that it is important for us to hear and listen, but also to be wary that we do not take the echo as a means to excuse and release. Anyone here the type of person that you need an alarm to wake up in the morning? Isn't it beautiful, right? That right? You with me now? Right? That sounds still to this day. Like, I thank the Lord for our smartphones, which is where I use my alarm system from, because it got away from that alarm clock alarm that I grew up with. Like, I can hear it in my ears today. Just that piercing, just blood curdling. Like, get out of your bed. It is time to go. My alarm system is a very interesting one. You are probably much more disciplined than I, but my alarm system is set well before I actually need to get up. Right? Because I have this habit. I have this, actually, even in the midst of sleep, there's times that I don't even realize that I've done it. There's a button when my alarm comes off that is called snooze. And I adore that button. When my alarm goes off, it is such an issue in my life that my dog, we have a puppy who's just over a year old, and he has actually gotten used to the fact that when the alarm goes off, it doesn't really mean anything, right? And so at the very beginning, when he was first with us, the alarm would go off and up he would get, and he'd run over and start kissing my face, and you're like, oh my goodness, like, this is an extra alarm I didn't need. And then you tell him, go back to bed, like, lay down. And all of a sudden now it comes where, like, the alarm will go off and he'll kind of look at me. I'll hit the snooze button. He'll look at me again. I'll be like, no. And he just goes right back to bed. And the alarm goes off again, and he looks at me, and I hit the snooze, and he just lays his head back down. It's not until my legs actually leave the bed that he gets excited. He's like, all right, finally. And it's just funny to see that play out, how something in our lives that we can have such repetition in, but if we're not careful, we can lose the point of the first word. We can lose the point of what it is that the alarm is actually supposed to do. How silly is it to set an alarm earlier than you need to have it set, because you know that you're not actually going to respond to it, right? This area that I've actually, you know, brought my dog into my journey with, as I was journeying through the preparation for this message, I was like, all right, we got to work on that. Church, I want to encourage you that for an alarm that gets you up in the morning, that we need to set it for a certain time so that we can execute on it. To actually have this become an important piece of who we are and in our character. To acknowledge that there are times of the day in which we need to be on. As we journey through our scripture today, let me just stress right off the beginning that when God speaks, he is so good to repeat. But oh, what would happen if we heard and listened the first time? We had an incredible testimony last week from Liz Bell. Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that awesome? Oh my goodness, it has sat with me all week as I've continued to just praise the Lord for who he is. But church, I'm sure that there are many testimonies like mine and like Liz's that we could stand up here and just speak to. What if we had listened the first time? What if we had positioned ourselves to say, God, when you speak, here I am. Whether it's an alarm clock or your wife explaining to you for the 15th time that she told you about that one date 3 months ago and you double booked it, triple booked it. Why did you do it? Like, listen, this is a lesson that you can actually use in multiple areas of your life. Discipline is important. And none so much when it comes to the word of the Lord, whether written or heard. Last week, we spoke about Ruth and how God can take us from a transition from crisis to complication before finally bringing about the resolving of a certain situation. You're here today and you're still in the midst of your crisis moment, your complication moment. Our desire today is to begin as a family, as a community, to unlock the word of the Lord for you today. That God would speak into your situation, that you would grow in your desire to hear from the Lord, not just to sit in your circumstance, not just to think about how you can solve the problem, but to really lean in on what God has for you today. When Jesus was delivering his Sermon on the Mount, he emphasized a certain piece of significance, one of firsts. Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Church, there are so many firsts in the Bible that God continues to encourage us to dig into, to seek him first, to fall deeply head over heels in love with our first love. To give to him our first fruits. We walk through the story of Joshua, how there was a particular message that God was sending, a particular drive that God was sending as they entered into the city of Jericho. Why? Because this was a first city and God was consecrating it to be holy as the entire land was called to be holy. Today we'll see in the life of Samuel's mom that there is an emphasis on her firstborn son. Maybe you're here this morning and you are the first believer in your family. I want to encourage you today that what God has started, he will move for generations to come. Amen. Maybe you're here today and one of your own firsts in your life, maybe a best friend or a loved one isn't following God. I want to encourage you today that God has his hand on them, that he is speaking to them as clearly today as he is speaking to you in this room. That our God is the God who is calling his people to him first. When things are repeated in Scripture or in our lives, it is important for us to pause and listen. Margaret Feinberg wrote this, "A sacred echo is the repetitive nature of God speaking, which gives us confidence that God is prompting or guiding or leading. The sacred echo reminds us to pay close attention. Something important may be happening here." Something important may be happening here. Just at the beginning of this message, I want to repeat once again, God is speaking. And it is our call to pause and listen. So let us open this morning in prayer. God, we praise you for what it is that you have planned for this morning. God, I thank you that you are going to give confirmation today in people's lives. Lord, I thank you that this morning individuals will hear the words that you have been speaking over the last few weeks. Lord, I truly believe that there are going to be aha moments in this room, that there are going to be only God sentiment in this room today. God, I truly believe that you are going to set some on a new path, Lord God, that you have been calling and speaking them into. Lord, I believe that there are those today who will hear this message and will return this afternoon to your word and see a word that you have been speaking over their lives, God. Make it clear through that sacred echo. Lord Jesus, this morning, would you speak love and peace and mercy in this place? God, I pray that there would be not just a reminder today, but God, I pray that there would be an opportunity for people to stand firm on your word, that you are who you say that you are, that we don't repeat that because it sounds good, we repeat it because it's the truth. And so, Lord, for those that need a fresh understanding, for those that need to hear that sacred echo today, God, give us ears to hear. Soften our hearts this morning in your holy name. Amen. 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 Today's story holds a layer of understanding for us how God will speak to each and every one of us at critical times. Sometimes we can even use the ear of another in God's house. Come on. Sometimes we can even use the ear of another of God's followers to hear what is happening because we can't hear or with proper understanding on our own. So let us dive in to our verses today. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 to 18 says this. Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up, this being Samuel's mother. Now Eli the priest was sitting in his chair by the doorstep of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, and I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Hannah turned to him and replied, not so, my Lord. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer or any spirit. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the Lord of Israel grant what you have asked him. She said, may your servant find favor in the Lord. And may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Church, this morning, in addition to reading God's word, hearing God speak to us personally always involves a level of subjectivity. Hannah begins such an intense prayer that Eli the priest actually mistakes what it is that she's saying for drunkenness. He confronts her and says, what is it that you're doing in this place? And he begins to step into this completely subjectively. As you read the story of Eli, what you'll notice is that Eli himself was troubled. He was actually speaking to her from this moment in this position of struggle. As Hannah is praying for a son, Eli comes in and begins to make judgment on Hannah, mostly based off of where he finds his own sons. Eli steps into the middle of the story and immediately begins to speak out of his own pain, begins to assume things out of his own position as he has been called to be the head of the priesthood for God. And he is in this position where he's heard from God, and yet his sons are not living the way that he has asked them to live. And Eli enters into this moment, and rather than finding himself in prayer with this woman, rather than finding himself in a position where his heart can be open to this woman, he takes his own position, takes the own things that are weighing on his heart and speaks negatively towards Hannah. Church, I want to encourage you today that no matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what it is that you're walking through, do not look to other situations to justify the position that you have set in your own heart. Come on. Do not look into other situations in order to justify the position that you've set in your own heart. How easy is it for us to do that? All of a sudden, you're driving down the road and somebody makes a wild, you know, right turn across three lanes, and you automatically go to the assumption that you've already set in your heart that Ottawa is just full of terrible drivers. I've had that position for 11 years, and this week, as I was writing this down, God said, and you? I said, yes, Lord, and me. Yes, Lord, and me. Now, it does not mean I don't see crazy things every time I get behind the wheel, but what I've chosen is to not allow situations to reaffirm the negativity that I've set in my own heart. Church, you can take this into all sorts of different situations, can't we? You walk into a family event or a family dinner, and somebody says the thing that you were expecting them to say. Now, did they actually say that thing, or were you just prepared to hear it? How many times have you walked into a financially difficult situation, or maybe just it seems like every single twist and turn just is simply not going your way, and we emphasize those points. We say, oh, of course this is going to happen. Oh, of course it's going to go this way. And we use the negativity that is brought against us to justify the negativity that we have let sit in our own hearts. See, God was presenting Eli with this incredible opportunity to look at Hannah as she poured out her soul, to be reminded that there were those in his midst that were faithfully seeking after the Lord. And instead, all that he saw was somebody again that had disappointed him. Instead, all that Eli saw was again someone who had fallen short of what it was that the Lord had set out, of all the statutes that Eli had been speaking and encouraging people in. He did not allow Hannah to speak first to explain her situation. Instead, he spoke first and assumed the worst. Church, even in the midst of your difficulty, even in the midst of the darkness, God is present. Instead of looking for opportunities to reinforce the negative, instead of looking for opportunities to allow that position to sit deeper in your heart, oh, of course this would happen to me, can I challenge you today to look around at the opportunities that God is giving you every day to praise him despite what is happening? To praise him despite what is happening. See, Hannah being invited into this story for on Eli's behalf was not to do anything other than to encourage him in what it was that is yet to come. To give him that moment to say, yet God is still at work. To humble himself and say, God, you are incredible. Humility is a non-negotiable for those of us that call Christ King. Amen? In fact, humility is a chosen disposition of the heart, which expresses itself in a modest view of one's importance. Whew. It's not an attitude of self-deprecation or self-loathing or shame, but instead is a conscious willingness. Come on. It is a conscious willingness to place the needs of others ahead of one's own. To place the needs of others ahead of one's own. To look at the beauty of the world and say, my God is so great. And this is precisely what Eli the priest needed to do with Hannah. This week, as we were traveling to one of my son's hockey games, Cassie expressed this beautiful sentiment that really has just left me in pause. We were driving and we were trying to get there. My boys are super excited about hockey. They absolutely love it to the point where they would love to be an hour early for their games. It's fantastic, right? Any sports parents, anyone that has engaged in competitive sport before, you know that there is already enough sport. And, you know, an hour before games means an hour and a half preparation to get there. And they love it so much. And so we are quickly on our way to one of the arenas across town. And as we're driving down just this rural road, why did I put that in there? As we're driving down this rural, you know what I'm talking about. We're in the country. It's beautiful. And Cassie, literally, as we were talking about something else, pauses in the conversation and says, wow, look at the trees and look at the snow. She goes, isn't it awesome? Like, it doesn't have to be so beautiful. Like, there's no reason for all of the ice to be hanging on to the trees so beautifully, and all of a sudden you start to look and it's almost as though the snow is made of diamond, like it's shining and it's glittering. And all she said was, I'm so thankful that the Lord is a God who created things for us. And we went right back into the conversation that we were having, because the boys still don't want to talk about hockey, right? It's just, thanks, Mom. I don't know why you brought that up, but like, here's what we're going to do today. Here's the plan. But as we were driving, I was listening to my son's converse. It really gave me pause of how many times already this winter I've driven down the road without noticing what it is that God has created. Church, how often do we pause to thank the Lord for the wind? How often do we pause to thank the Lord for the sun? How often do you pause to thank the Lord for that conversation that you just had with your friend? For that son or daughter who gave you that call? For that opportunity this morning to breathe once again? How often do we truly pause to say, God, this is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that you have made. No matter what my bank statement looks like, no matter what it is that my boss is going to say to me today, God, I pray that my kids would speak well, but God, this is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Church, I want to encourage you today. God is speaking. Some of the reputation that I believe that God wants to communicate to us as Life Center Kanata is through his creation. To remind ourselves once again to let the leaves of fall take our breath away. To remind ourselves again as we drive home from this place that even if God isn't showing up in the way that we wish that he would, in the way that we would if we were God, to pause in our lives and look at his creation and say, and yet God, you are here. You are here. And God begins to work in Hannah's life. Eli is not fully able to appreciate what is going on, but God begins to work in Hannah's life, and she conceives a son and names him Samuel, which means I have asked for him from the Lord. When Eli saw that Hannah was praying, he wasn't able to give the worth to what it was that she was doing, but his worthless sons actually move away from the Lord, and Eli actually benefits so much from the prayers of Hannah, because as Eli loses his own sons, he gains the son that Hannah had been praying for. Samuel is dedicated into the service of the Lord, becomes a student, becomes a disciple of Eli. And at the very young age, as Samuel is learning about what it means to be a priest, as Eli is walking him through just the incredible gifting that God has given not only his mom, but Samuel and for his future, we are open to 1 Samuel chapter 3, an incredible, incredible, incredible piece of the Bible. If you've not underlined this yet in your Bible, I encourage you to do that. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, it says this. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under the priest Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down," right? The alarm went off and Eli said, "Snooze, snooze, snooze," right? Like, "No, Jagger, it's not time to get up yet." Okay. And he said to Samuel, Jagger's my dog. Okay. And he said to Samuel, "No, I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So Samuel went and lay down. Verse 6. And again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Eli replied, "My son, I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." It was at this point that Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening. The beginning of verse 11 says, "And the Lord said to Samuel." The Lord calls Samuel, but Samuel does not yet recognize that it is the Lord who is calling. He actually believes that it's Eli who's calling. This is a beautiful piece of insight. into how do you discern whether or not it is the Lord or someone else. First off, when the Lord speaks, if anybody here in the room has heard the Lord actually speak in that audible voice, one of the incredible things that I've heard from many people, for I have not heard that audible voice of the Lord before myself, but one of the things that I've heard is that when God speaks, it's recognizable. Come on. Isn't that the coolest thing? Right? One of the things that I've heard is that when God speaks in that audible voice, it's recognizable. Why? Because God has been speaking to you since you've been formed in the womb. Ooh, it's so good. And so Samuel, he knows this voice. Isn't that incredible? Right? Samuel immediately hears his name, Samuel, and it is this familiar voice, and he associates it with Eli because this would have been very, very common, right? Eli is older in age, and Samuel would have done the majority of the chores. Anytime that Eli needed anything, he would have called on Samuel. And so Samuel, hearing the voice of the Lord, recognizes it as familiar, but hasn't heard the voice of the Lord. It says in verse 7, I believe it was, that the voice of the Lord hadn't been revealed to him yet. And so he recognizes it as familiar and goes to Samuel. Church, I want to encourage you today that as God speaks to you, it will be familiar. One of the best ways to discern when somebody has a word from God, one of the best ways to discern is this actually from God, is that it should check positively by the Spirit who is alive in you. No, it's so good. It's so good because this is something that I think, especially for our young people in this room today, there's so much confusion, yeah. Right? There's so much desire for our young people, whether you're in high school or you're a young adult. There's so much confusion about what it is that the future is going to hold. There's so much hunger and desperation to know where it is that God wants you to go. And this isn't to exclude us as adults, because I believe that we also live in this same space. I don't know who told you that you were growing up, but it just kind of happened to me, right? It's just like, oh, people are treating me different. Now I'm supposed to know, okay, I got to figure this out. But when you're young and someone comes up to you and says, I hear from God this, one of the most beautiful things is the church, right? One Holy Spirit. God the Father is at the head. Jesus is the head of the church. And the same Holy Spirit who is alive and well in the person delivering the message is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you. Come on, somebody. Right? And so there should be a check in the positive. Many, many times when I have been given the opportunity to share a word of wisdom or to share a word of knowledge with someone, I'll always preface it by saying, I think God is saying this. And I deliver the message and I always ask, does that make sense? Why? Because typically what's happening is the Lord is simply using me to confirm something that he's already been speaking in that individual. Right? And it's like this beautiful, incredible moment to be able to use your gift and watch as you're just saying something, you're hoping that it's right, and they're looking at you like, how did you, what is happening? Because that's our God. It should be confirmation, right? This familiar understanding, like, yes, that is what God has been speaking to me. And I ask that question, does this make sense? Because that person has in full permission to tell me that is so far from left field. I don't know where that is. And I'll actually tell people, okay, pray on that, but forgive me if I'm mistaken. Come on, church. Yeah. Church, it is okay to feel a nudge from God and to act on it. And as long as you position yourself humbly to be wrong, to not lead someone astray because you got it mixed up. Come on. Come on. Church, there's times in our lives where we need to recognize that the word of God is familiar, that the same Holy Spirit living in the person who is speaking the word is the same Holy Spirit who is alive in you. It should be a confirmation of what the word of God is speaking. It should be a confirmation of what the Holy Spirit is already speaking into you. Eli finally pays attention and discerns and says, okay, this is God speaking to this young man. Not only does Eli demonstrate humility in this moment, but he does something extremely important. He doesn't tell Samuel what to do. He tells Samuel how to position himself to hear. It would have been easy for Eli to simply tell Samuel, you know, what book to go to and all of these different instructions. But instead, he says, listen, this is where you need to live, Samuel. Position yourself this way, not just tonight, but every day of your life. Go back into your room, and if God speaks, posture your heart this way. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Our posture matters most between the certainty that we seek and the clarity that we desire. Our posture matters most between the certainty that we seek and the clarity that we desire. Church, a truth that we need to take away this morning is that we as humans desire certainty. Yeah. Right? And anybody here, you just want to know. I just want to know, God, there's 2 paths or 16 paths. Show me the right one. Hallelujah, right? Close all the doors and illuminate the one door that I'm supposed to walk through. This is what we desire because typically this is also how we instruct. Following God is a unique experience in that he may not always provide certainty, but one thing that he will offer to you is clarity on the next step. There may not always be certainty in following God, but the clarity that God offers is what it is that he wants for your life. It's that hunger and that thirst for peace in where you should go. Typically, not even fully understanding the steps that you're about to take. Come on, right? We often ask God those why questions, and he tends to respond with those what opportunities. Those opportunities to trust him deeper. Samuel, in his first hearing from the Lord, has this incredible moment, but is also given a problematic word. If you know the story of Samuel, God begins to explain to Samuel what is about to happen to Eli's sons as they have lived in wickedness, and Eli is unwilling and has been unwilling to restrain them. And so the sons that Eli have will not inherit what it is that God had set up for his household. And instead, Samuel will actually step into this blessing and into this inheritance. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 15 says that Samuel lay until morning when he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Church, what happens when God asks you to go in a direction that you wouldn't have laid out for yourself?
Yeah.
Eli called to Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, verses 16. Samuel, my son. Samuel replied, here I am. And Eli said, what is it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you had anything for me that he told you. So Samuel told Eli everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. Church, I want to encourage you today. God is speaking. And where God produces repetition, let us have ears to hear. Maybe you're here today. God has been speaking in your life about discipline. Maybe you're here today and just that simple joke about me hitting the snooze button on the alarm every single day. God's speaking to me about that. That doesn't have to be your takeaway. But where is it that God is saying, listen, you have been traveling down this road long enough. You've been traveling down this road long enough. Been hitting the snooze button on this particular circumstance. You've been hitting the snooze button on this particular activity. You know where it is that I have called you to, and I'm calling you today to stand on my word. Church, God is speaking in this room. And so this is my challenge for each of us today. Maybe you've fallen off on the path of Heart Strong. And it just feels like, oh my goodness, I have so many chapters and verses to catch up. Can I just give you peace in that today? I want to encourage each and every one of us to get back on track. To begin to read the Bible every single day. To jump into the reading plan and allow God's word to speak to our heart. Maybe you've never joined the 6 a.m. Heart Strong meeting and that for you has been like, I will never. Well, how about this week you just do it once? Or maybe this week you've never taken the time to set aside actual moments in your day to just listen on our website for those incredible teachings that have been set out by your fellow congregation members. I want to encourage you, let this be the week. Or maybe you've been putting off making that phone call of forgiveness. Maybe you've been putting off sitting down with your spouse and really having a dear-to-dear, heart-to-heart of where it is that you've gone wrong and the steps that you're going to take to become the person, not that they need you to be, but who God has called you to be. Maybe you're here today and your prayer life with God has become non-existent. Can I repeat to you once again that He is knocking at the door of your heart? That all that you have to do today is open that door and He will come in and He will eat with you. This is our God. He has not given up on you. He has not released you from His hand. He is still as desperate for you today as the first day and when you've realized that He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Come back to your first love. And may we be a church that encourages one another, that prays for one another, that seeks also to bring the word of God for one another, that we would direct one another in the ways in which we should go. Church, let us close this service in prayer. And then I'll call Tunde back to the stage. So God, I ask you this morning, have your way. Have your way in our heart. Lord, I thank you for this servant Samuel. God, I thank you for the miraculous notion that, Lord, that you are speaking here today. And so, God, for whatever it is in this message that has checked in our hearts, Lord God, I pray that we would walk with it the rest of this day. God, I pray that we would be a people of prayer. I pray that we would be a people of your word. Lord, I pray that we would come together, whether it be on Tuesday night for discipleship night here on Sunday morning. God, I pray that we would be people who would say, God, what do you have to say today? Here I am your servant, speak. Lord, for all of our kids and our junior highs, Lord, I pray the greatest blessing on that next generation. God, that you would speak into their lives each and every day. May they know your voice more intimately than even our generation, God. But for our generation, Lord Jesus, may we stand firm on your word. May we once again pick up that flag, pick up our cross and say, as for us, we will serve the Lord. So God, be our pleasure. God, be holy as you are holy, and may we be a holy people, hungry and thirsty for living water. Lord, for our incredible young people in this room today, God, I pray that they wouldn't just seek certainty, but God, that they would seek your peace. Lord, in the direction and steps in which they are to go, God, may they always seek your peace, that clarity of understanding that you are walking with them. In the ways that they shouldn't go, God, give them clarity. In the ways, Lord Jesus, that you will bless, Lord, may they have peace. And we ask that today in your holy name. Amen.